to welcome Dr. Jane Ruby to our program. Jane has been working with the medical, I guess I would have to say, the medical expose of what's going on in the vaccine culture right now, and what's been going on with the COVID-19 vaccine program, because it isn't really a vaccine, it's an injection of modified RNA genetic modifier. Dr. Jane, welcome to the program. I really tickled to have you on. I've seen some of your interviews, and I've seen your interviews with a embalmer that really showed exactly how deadly and nasty these vaccines are. And after I saw that expose, I started checking with some friends who are in the undertaking business where I live. And in fact, that is verified. They said that's exactly what's happening. So welcome to the program. Please talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been able and willing to uncover.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan. I want to make sure everyone can hear me clearly. It's an honor to be here with all of you and with your audience. First, I'd like to just really quickly just let people know that I am a licensed medical professional. I was trained as a nurse practitioner in the medical school of, not the nursing school, of the University of Rochester. I then went on to run a clinical research lab where I ran studies like these, the way they're supposed to be run for pharmaceutical companies. And then I spent 20 years in the pharmaceutical industry on the medical research side. So I know how the sausage is made on the inside with lots of interfacing with the FDA. And to do what I do, I have two doctorates, by the way. One is in education. The second one is in psychology. It's not non-clinical. I'm not a therapist. I'm a researcher. And I have two master's degrees. The first is in nursing, of course, which enabled me to sit for the nurse practitioner boards. Nurse practitioners do not practice under the direction of a physician. They are independent and they write prescriptions and they write orders without co-signature. And my second master's degree is in health economics and international health economics and pharmacoeconomics, where I'm mostly published on PubMed. Now, with all that said, I'm happy to hear that you do not call this a vaccine. You recognize that it's not under any definition, no matter how many ways the CDC wants to try to twist and redefine it. In they're a criminal agency. People should know that we are in the middle of an attempted Marxist coup to take over the United States. And I'm not joking and I'm not being hyperbolic. And as part of that attempted coup, this whole COVID scam has come into play. And I know that because I see, after 20 years in the pharmaceutical drug development industry, how things are not going the way they should, how laws have been violated, and no one's saying boo about it. And it's very dangerous right now, Dan, because you have a United States Congress who is incredibly silent. They run a few dog and pony show hearings, and nothing comes of it because they're all bought and paid for. We are on our own as the people out here. And I want people to be aware. It's time to get up off the couch. We're at DEFCON 1, to use a military term, which means defense condition 1. We're at the wall right now. Our military is being decimated day by day. If you don't believe me, you can talk to Dr. Teresa, Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, as well as her two companion whistleblowers who came out recently in front of Senator Ron Johnson's hearing to blow the whistle on the fact that we're losing hundreds and hundreds of our military members. These are elite trained people, incredibly healthy. They're dropping dead of heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of other things. To get to the embalmer, this was Mr. Richard Hirschman. He had the courage and the guts to come forward. I know it's happening all over the country because I have hundreds of embalmers that have written to me, but they're scared to come forward. So I know they're all finding this, and kudos to Mr. Hirschman. He is finding clots that he's never seen before in the size and type, and he's pulling them out of people hours after they've died. So we know now that these shots can contain many different things on any given day. They're deadly. Some of them are deadly immediately. Some of them are deadly in a couple of months. and the rest of them are probably deadly over the next 2 to 3 years. This has been an engineered bankruptcy attempt to bankrupt the United States. We've lost a lot of our small businesses. I do think there's time to pull it all back, but there's not a lot of time. And people need to get their heads out of the sand, and they need to start recognizing what this is, and they need to start taking back their power from the local levels and then work your way up. You don't worry about the federal government right now. You know, these are communists that are behind razor wire. All three branches of your federal government are now behind razor wire and National Guardsmen. It's absurd, but it's not absurd if you consider why it's being done. So you start local, avoid the jab at all costs. It's incredibly dangerous. Doesn't matter if it's children or elderly or with pre-existing medical issues or not. These are not vaccines. They do not confer future protection. They actually do the opposite. They're going to make you sick either right away, in a month or two, or in a year or two. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of my foundation, Dan. I just wanted to lay that all out. I don't have any restrictions on questions or areas or topics that you want to talk about. And just
to tell you, Dr. Jane, you're spot on with everything you're talking about. You basically are saying exactly what we've been saying with this program for the last 6 years. Even during the Trump administration, I was a critic of Donald Trump in areas like the vaccine program because
absolutely,
fact is, it is not a vaccine. My daughter happens to be a biologist. She was a study director for clinical studies for years, and she backs up everything you're saying. When this first came out, she was talking about how everything they were doing was antithetical to proper medical procedure, and it's been that way all the way down the line. They've never done it the way it was supposed to be done. I'm tickled to hear a little of your background. Because you've been involved in the clinical aspects of this, understanding how these programs are supposed to work. You don't get a vaccine, an effective vaccine, in 6 months or 9 months. According to my daughter, the fastest one that's ever been successful was a little over 7 years in the making, and that wasn't a terribly complex one. Now, I know that you're involved with the embalmer. You had that wonderful video. I saw that. That's a dynamite video. I'm going to go out a little bit on a limb here because I know an undertaker who has confirmed everything that you're talking about because they do embalming at their facility. And he said, you cannot believe the number of people who are dying from blood clots. And it almost across the board is the ones that have had the vaccines. Anyway, please, continue with what you've discovered in your clinical analysis of what exactly is COVID. We've gone over this quite a few times, but I want it from your perspective. And how was this bioweapon made useful by the global elite as a tool to bring in their one world order, their global government?
Well, those are pretty big questions, but let me clarify. Begin by clarifying one thing. I don't conduct myself the clinical analyses or preclinical analyses for that matter. Preclinical is animal in petri dishes. Clinical research or analysis is on human beings. And what I know what you're referring to is these findings of things inside the vials and then findings in human blood from people who have been jabbed. I don't directly conduct those kinds of tests or analyses. I'm connected now as the medical contributor on the Stu Peters Show and the Stu Peters Network, and also my own show on the Red Voice Media and Stu Peters Network, which is called the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. I report incoming evidence, and I I educate people on it, because I do have that unique perspective of being a medical person who's treated patients in ICUs, in acute care settings. And in addition to that, like I said, spending 20 years launching drugs from the animal dish, the petri dish and the animal studies, all the way through the human studies. And you touched on something a moment ago when you said these trials could never be done that quickly, because, and I'll tell you how they were, how all this came out so quickly. And that's because they skipped over everything they should have done. And the FDA and all these other agencies that are supposed to be providing oversight and safety for the people of the United States failed. And that's because we don't have agencies anymore. That's why I said in the beginning of your show, or of my segment here, that it's DEFCON 1. You have no FDA. The FDA is currently a department at Pfizer. You have no DOJ. You have no prosecutorial. Dan, I've got a fire alarm going off. I have to step away. I really apologize. Give me 1 minute.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
There we go. Bingo.
So sorry about that. I've never had that in our studio kitchen. Mm-hmm. There was some smoke, and there. Thank God we have a verbal alarm that says heads up.
Well, you're in an area that, quite frankly, you and I both see an awful lot of censorship. We've been banned so many times because we touch on subjects that the lamestream media wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Dr. David Martin happens to be a friend of yours. He's a friend of mine as well. We're working on a number of things. Yep. But he's the one who has really uncovered the patent process that is not only part of the COVID bioweapon, but also the vaccine a part of the program. And that's gone back to 2001. He started his research in that, and it went clear back to 2001. Obviously, you cannot get a patent on a naturally occurring thing, so this has got to be man-made, and that's the part. I mean, we've got to realize that this is a bioweapon. This has nothing to do with a naturally occurring disease.
That's correct. That's correct. And Dr. David Martin's work is spot on. He's been working on it for 20 years. It's a big part of what I base my work on and the information that I bring out. He's absolutely, you know, brilliant in this area and many others. He's uncovered, he's put the pieces together. The problem, Dan, and he knows this, is that there's nowhere to go right now to adjudicate it. As I was saying before the little smoke emergency, you have no prosecutorial. Yeah, I'm not going to throw a wet blanket on it. As Dr. Martin has said, there has to be a court. There are some courts left. There are some attorneys general left who will and hopefully will prosecute this, will bring this. Because once you pierce that, once you unveil that this is criminal activity, you pierce the veil of the illegal or the illegal immunity that these companies are protected under. But even if we had a functioning FDA and a functioning DOJ, I'm not sure. People should be asking, why is Congress silent? Why is the FDA gone? Why is the DOJ silent? The only thing the DOJ is doing is hauling in moms who are screaming at school boards. I mean, does anybody realize how lockstep this is and how dangerous it is?
Absolutely.
You have no federal agencies anymore.
Well, and we've been, I don't know if David mentioned this to you, but I've been trying to help him get connected with the Montana Attorney General's office for the last 6 months. And we thought we had a real open door to the AG's office, and yet for 6 months, it's gone nowhere. You are absolutely right. We've got all these people who are there in elective office to protect the American people in various states around the country, and yet he is having a heck of a time getting an AG that'll carry it forward.
Absolutely right. And I'm really getting tired of laying out the proof along with him and not having anybody do anything about it. It should frighten everyone. It should call, if you're not frightened, it should at least get your attention, everyone, as to why this is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
What are they going to do next? Jab you in the neck on the street and nobody comes to help? You have exactly. police officers in foreign countries right now, one right next door to us, that are just, you know, forcing. I mean, there's nobody's going to come and save us. If we don't get a grip on this now, if we don't, you know, everybody's so complacent. I don't get it.
I don't either. And at the same time, with our AG's office, and it is in the state of Montana, I have a number of senators and representatives who are good personal friends, and they're trying to carry this stuff forward to the AG's office. And for some reason, they have still not done anything with it. And the comment I get back is, well, we're busy with a lot of things. Well, guess what? The future of mankind ought to take precedence over any other little deals they're working on. That's kind of where we're at on this. We're talking the future of humanity. We're talking if we are going to survive as humans.
I totally get it.
Yeah. Well, I know you do. Yeah.
And yet nothing can be brought to adjudication. Mm-hmm. You have crimes. You have terrorism. You have federal laws broken. You have FDA regulations that are actually federal laws that have been bypassed by the agency itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very dangerous time.
Well,
you have thousands, tens of thousands of males coming across the U.S. border being handed a baggie with ivermectin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you have U.S. military, and by the way, a baggie with ivermectin and no requirement to test, no swabs up their nose.
Mm-hmm.
And did anyone ever stop to ask, why are these swabs going in the nose?
Yeah,
have you ever had a strep throat test? Did they go through your nose?
Yeah. You're spot on with that. And
I'm spot on with everything, but I can't get anything done.
Well, I'm doing the same thing, Jane. That's the
it's frustrating.
The truth of it. It's frustrating. And I get just as angry about it as you do. But the idea that, you know, you're talking about the swabs, but our military and all of our health officials are the ones that are being required to have this jab. Do we realize what we're doing to our, we're going to destroy our military and all of
we
our
are destroying it.
Public
Dan,
sector
we,
workers?
We are destroying our military.
Yeah.
I can't be, if you saw the DMED data, we all have it now. The DOD can scrub it and lie about it all at once, but it was already pre-downloaded. And millions of people have that database. That's a pristine database. I don't know if you understand the difference between that and VAERS. It's not a self-reporting system like VAERS, which has its own value. But the DMED, which is the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, is pristine because the only people that can enter information and maintain it are military physicians.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers of injured military, they're in the hundreds of percentile.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people that are internal sources in addition to the three whistleblowers, especially I've been in communication with Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long for a long time, but in addition to her and the other two whistleblowers, there are thousands of our military every day dropping dead of heart attacks. They can't walk across the room because they have congestive heart failure.
Yeah, this is happening. Talk a little bit about some of those. I don't have the charts here handy, but talk about some of the numbers that we're discovering in our military on their own database.
Well, let me go back as a little bit of a start to your earlier question about, you know, what is the COVID-19 flu? What is the SARS-CoV-2? Why do they say it doesn't exist and all that? Let me separate. Those are two different issues. I do believe that the Wuhan lab, we have sort of the digital trail. They did upload a sequence of what they claimed was a SARS-CoV-2 virus. In other words, a portion of it. But if I spin something down enough, you know, you're made of carbon, water, hydrogen, all these base things. If I spin it down deep enough, you don't know if you have Dan or Jane or an avocado, right? You get down to the basic components. So that's the analogy I use here. So what they uploaded, by the way, when they uploaded that sequence, they were violating probably every bioweapon treaty on the planet.
Absolutely.
And they uploaded it because then they gave that was against which all these companies developed, you know, a lot of different things, including the fake PCR test. But what I'm telling you is that this, there are two different things. There's something that they released that made people ill. And there's the, David Martin has put out the proof. It's a chimeric molecule. It's never been seen, you know, before in nature. But what it is, and it has an affinity developed by Ralph Baric to attack the human lung voraciously, right? So that's the COVID-19 illness. But what they've called SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been, whether you believe in viruses or not, doesn't matter what, whichever side of the fence you're on, because that SARS-CoV-2 has never been identified, purified, and isolated from an ill person in its whole form. But what they have put out is maybe pieces of what they claim is a part of that. That's BS. Then in addition to that, so we do have things that made people sick. I got sick in March of 2020. In a way, I was kind of lucky to get hit early because my doctor of many years, who I had great faith in, sounded like a totally different person on the phone. And I said, okay, I'm positive. Can you phone in the prescription for HCQ? Because we weren't aware of ivermectin yet at that time. And he said something to me that changed my life, Dan. It told me that something very bad was happening in the world. He said, first of all, we don't prescribe that unless you're in an intensive care unit. And being a medical person, I wasn't going to sit, you know, wow. Sit with that. And I said, what are you, crazy? Why would you wait till I was that sick to give me that? And his next response was what changed everything, Dan. He said, Jane, you're just going to have to tough this one out. And he hung up on me.
Wow.
And so after I started to recover, I started to dig into, like, why would he do that? Like, what was it about the state of Virginia, where I lived at the time, that precluded him from prescribing it? And I found that the governor at the time put down an edict saying, you can't prescribe it. And I thought, well, why would they do that? What do they care what we prescribe?
Well, especially something as well known as that.
Well, I learned because I looked at every other state that was prohibiting it. And guess what? The language was the same. So there was something in lockstep. They got some kind of memo and they all were doing it. And then I knew that the world was in trouble. But getting on to the shot was developed based on a computer generated model of what we call a Frankenshot. It's many different pieces to the model. It's never been tested in nature, never found in nature. So when people who have taken this thing, I'm sorry to tell you, you have no idea what the long-term consequences are.
Exactly.
Because these companies were allowed to jump with a little bit of data called an interim analysis. They broke the blind. This is a modus operandi, by the way, of Fauci's that he's done over and over and over again. Historically, when he has run studies on drugs and he starts to see the beginning of a safety signal, an issue, he demands that the company break the blind. When you break the blind, you lose your placebo arm. Here's where my expertise comes in. When you lose your placebo arm, you have many more people getting treatment than placebo. You lose your ability to really see a dangerous safety signals further down the pike. So the drug looks like it's doing great. Lots of shenanigans pulled here, but they're not just shenanigans. They're federal laws that have been broken.
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
FDA regulations. Their own guidance documents were not followed.
Well, and I've seen the recording of the gentleman from Pfizer talking about that the FDA is controlled by Pfizer. I mean, the money that the FDA runs on is a direct product of donations by Pfizer. How can you have that kind of a relationship and have a hands-off, honest relationship?
Well, that's why our Congress is dirty. It's filthy dirty. Every last one of them. Dan, hear me well. Every last one of them. They're grifters, they're phonies, and they're all bought and paid for because they have allowed the FDA to be funded up to 75%, not just by Pfizer, but the bulk by Pfizer. So is Fox News. Every other commercial is brought to you by Pfizer.
Exactly.
So this is a long brewing problem. Dan, don't tell me that Congress, congressional members, whether they're on a committee or not, that they cannot haul in FDA officials, that they cannot haul in leadership at Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and J&J. But
well,
they're
look
not.
At what's happening. Look at what's happening right now with Moderna. Look at the financial condition of these companies. If, in fact, it hadn't been for the pandemic, most of these companies would be broke. Yeah. It's all about the money. It's always been all about the money. If you want to know what's going on in the world, all you got to do is follow the money trail. It's
if you want a good interview on that, I recommend Dr. Shiva, who's done
has got a program before it.
Yeah, fantastic on the money trails. On the money trails. Yep.
Yeah, he sure is. Yeah, absolutely. This is something that I think most people don't realize is the connection between the patent process and the actual disease. And that's what we'll have to call it, a dis-ease. But the fact is that it's all patented, isn't it? Every single step of this program has been something that's been created by someone for a profit.
Yes, and you know, Dr. Martin has done a great job laying out the interlocking directorates. It's not just the usual suspects like Rachel Walensky, who's a criminal at the CDC. Fauci's a criminal from way back. I mean, this guy has lied to Congress three times. If you don't think I'm right, if anybody out there in the audience doesn't think I'm right about Congress is gone, they're all bought and paid for. You witnessed on TV, mm-hmm. Fauci lying to Congress. That's a crime. You don't need to be under oath. Mm-hmm. Three times, and they did nothing about it.
Absolutely.
They did
nothing
about it. I'm telling you, you're not going to get rescued by Congress. They're criminals. I don't know how to correct that because they're all bought and paid for. But this has been a staged, coordinated crime, mm-hmm. and it's all coming to fruition. And that's why I'm saying we don't have a lot of time left.
No, we don't have any time.
It's a slow, calculated kill. It's a parsed out kill. I posted on my social media this morning, we're way past negligence. Mm-hmm. Negligence sailed about a year ago. We're right up front and center to a premeditated injury and murder. This is assault. This is domestic terrorism. It's worldwide mm-hmm. terrorism.
And they fully intend to wipe out 93% of the world's population. And what's left, they plan to have under their total control. That's exactly,
well,
and
that's
I know that sounds
little,
radical, but it's
that's
true,
That's
going
to be interesting
it?
Because the people that are left over are going to be the ones who said to go pound sand mm-hmm. when they tried to get them to take the shot. You're going to have left over the resistors, the independent thinkers, those who could discern. Mm-hmm. Those who don't, you know, just take in what they're told by authority. So that's going to be an interesting showdown, but it could be generations from now, Dan. It's not going to happen in a couple of years.
Well, they fully plan on having most of this stuff in place by the year 2030. I do a lot of programs on UN Agenda 21-2030, and they've openly stated what their program is.
Sure.
They have said that they plan on reducing the world's population. When
sure.
you say we're running out of time, Jane, this is the bottom line. They plan to destroy all of us. And all we can do at this point is say, people, wake up, get off the bandwagon and get on your own two feet. And start living like you care about your children and your grandchildren.
Absolutely.
We're at that point right now where we have no time left. You're absolutely right about that. It's been that way for actually probably 2 years. And Klaus Schwab and the World mm-hmm. Economic Forum, they talk openly about how COVID will be the next step in this great reset of the world. Let's talk about your experience in dealing with what they mean by the great reset.
Well, you know, I tend to, you know, keep myself in a lane of medical interpretation, pharmaceutical violations, things like that. I'm aware of that information. I'm aware of some of those dark players. And everybody likes to have a villain to hate and all that. But what concerns me more, and when they talk about these issues like Great Reset, financial reset, they're going to control everything. I mean, I could clearly see how that could happen. It's definitely plausible. But what I think I'm trying to call to people's attention is, while you're complacent and going, ah, they can't get all of us, or whatever the excuses are, look at how lockstep this thing has been. Look at what has been able to be accomplished so far in terms of engineering economic destruction, taking away small businesses. People are still complying. You know, I live in South Florida now, and it's not that much safer, but you know, we're an open carry state, and people have a little more of a cocky attitude here. I walked in this morning to vote in local elections. Today is local elections for towns and municipalities. And the very first thing, a masked person walked up to me and was holding one of those digital temperature takers and said, you know, could we take your temperature? And I said, absolutely not. You may not take my temperature. And show me in the United States Constitution where it's required to have my medical status in order to vote. And their eyes popped out, and the mask kind of fell to the side because they had to take a breath. And they said, "Oh, ma'am, no, ma'am, it's just a suggestion. It's not a requirement." I said, "You're damn right, it's not a requirement, and I respectfully decline." Oh my God, they were like, man, I'll tell you something. They were very careful. I filled out my thing. I gave them my ID. They knew I was watching everything. And when I put my ballot after I marked it into the machine, I watched it. I waited for the, you know, and I said, you're going to all have to understand what has happened to this country in the last 2 years. You know, we're not going to put up with that. Everything's got to be, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's. So what I'm saying is, the sheep are still out there. Everybody inside that polling place had a mask on. I'm like, dudes, you're in Florida. The doors are wide open. The air's flowing. And even the guy at the door who's outside, I didn't want to start a fight, but I was going to say, sir, you do understand that you're outside, right? They're so just indoctrinated.
Yeah, they are. They're mindless, and I laugh about it because, you know, you see people driving down the street by themselves with a mask on. Why would you do that to your body? I mean, the fact is every time you put on one of these masks, I don't care if it's a cloth one or a surgical mask, you're actually reducing the amount of oxygen going to your
Well, of
brain.
course, of
Yeah.
course.
Well, maybe that oxygen deprivation of the brain is responsible for a lot of stupidity, but I love your reaction. I have to tell you, it reminds me of Judge Judy. I don't know if you've ever watched some of her reactions.
Judge Judy in New York, Judy Shineland. Yeah, she's great.
Oh, she's a pistol.
And Judge Jeanine. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, it stops now. It stops now. I went into a building the other day, just a high rise, and the guy had his mask on and I apparently you can't enter. It's a resident hall, you know, like a condo building. And I said, well, then I'm not entering. You know, it's got to stop somewhere. And
It
this is
does.
Florida that has the reputation. I mean, we don't have laws requiring it anymore, but man, there are sheep. There's sheep everywhere. I can't even imagine what it's like in New York, California. They're being forced to inject themselves just to go to the grocery store, and every school child.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm in southern Arizona. I have a ranch in Montana, but I'm right now in southern Arizona. And in Arizona, we've got a lot of independent thinkers here, but there's still an amazing number of fools out there that seem to want to get along with all the other sheeple. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, I was just in Southern Arizona about a month ago. I was honored to speak at Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour and meet a lot of my fellow, my colleagues, my fellow warriors like Dr. Tenpenny and, you know, Mike Lindell and Tom Rentz and the whole crew. But the point is, I was reluctant. They were wearing masks in the hotel, but it wasn't a requirement. So mostly nobody was wearing, I'd say maybe at 10% of the people. So, you know, you still see it here and there, even in a state like Arizona. It's unbelievable. People are primed for the next hoax. That's what I'm afraid of, Dan. They're primed for the next hoax to fall for it.
Well, they are. And a friend of mine, Cynthia McKinney, called me a couple of weeks ago, and she said, the next one is hemorrhagic fever. They're going to be bringing over hemorrhagic fever. And
yeah, that's a fear mongering.
CCP, you know.
Dan, that's a fear mongering thing.
Oh, sure
I did a special episode on the Dr. Jane Ruby show on hemorrhagic fever, which is comprised of four different illnesses: Ebola, Lassa fever, yellow fever, and Marburg. And it's not that easy to catch them. I'm not telling people that it's not dangerous, but they tend to concentrate in the animal species that are concentrated in certain parts of the world. And if you come upon somebody who's sick, they're not going to be asymptomatic. They're going to be seriously symptomatic, and you're going to know. You're going to stay away from people like that. Am I saying it couldn't happen? No. But I think beware of anyone who's pushing that narrative, because that's sort of the primer for the next fear, whether it's that or something else. I don't trust anyone pushing that hemorrhagic fever fear. And by the way, you don't hemorrhage from all your orifices. The bleeding is tiny little petechiae. That's the least of it. It's really a respiratory illness.
Right.
But again, you're not going to be near anyone they're going to be so profoundly sick if they can, and they're not going to be traveling on an airplane because they're going to quickly be pulled off. Again, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying it's kind of a far reaching and I think it's fear mongering, and I get my antenna go up when I see people, they're supposedly on our side of this, you know, movement and this hoax understanding, pushing it. I'm just saying, truth in medicine.
And this is something that's been brought up a number of times, and I'd like to have you maybe talk about this. But
sure.
The fact is so many of these things are parasitic diseases, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, chlorine dioxide. There are a lot of things that are very simple, very cheap. They aren't pharmaceutical in the traditional sense, and they work extremely well against parasitic diseases. Isn't that really the reason that they banned so many of these things, because they were so damned effective?
Well, I think that may be the case for hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I won't speak to the other things you mentioned because I don't have bona fide scientific evidence. People can make the decisions they do. I want to make a disclaimer that the information I provide is medical information only. It is not designed to treat anybody, and it should not be construed by any of your audience as medical advice. But with that said, I will only really promote things or talk about things that I know or that I've seen the science for. But to your larger point, we don't need a lot of pharmaceuticals. And the parasite issue is interesting to me, Dan, because as you probably know, I've been breaking the stories that are coming from all over the world, by the way, from multiple experts, that they are finding not only in the Pfizer and Moderna and J&J vials, they're not just parasites. They're self-assembling eggs that then develop into parasites. I have a suspicion that they could be hybrid, that they're part animal and part, like, I don't know, technical, right? Because what is the end game of just infecting people with parasites? Eventually you can take antiparasitics or cleanses and get rid of them. Maybe it's more than just an organic parasite. Maybe they have created a hybrid because this thing has a self-assembling capability. Mm-hmm. And they're not only finding it in the vials, they're finding the same things visually, the eggs and the parasites in the blood of people who've been jabbed. They bring up the blood, they see the red blood cells are damaged, and you see these parasites in the blood. Serious infection and infestation coming from these jabs. Could you have escaped it? Possibly. We know from the work of Team Enigma, you should interview some of those folks, that there could be many different things in these vials at any given day, even within the same lot number. Mm-hmm. So you are playing with Russian roulette on steroids. If any of you out there are even remotely considering this for yourself or a child, God forbid, when you have Russian roulette, here's my analogy. You're going to get only one of two things. You're either going to get air or a bullet to your head. But with this, you have many, many hundreds of chambers, and they're filled with all kinds of different potential poisons. So caveat emptor, buyer beware. This is not conspiracy theory. This is true in medicine.
And there's a reason that they've used so many things that have never been in a vaccine before, like nanochips, like hydrogel, like graphene oxide. All these things are an indication that there's more going on with these vaccines, and I use that term very loosely.
Don't use the term anymore. Use the term bioweapon, because you don't want to perpetuate the misunderstanding that this has some protective element to it. Right. Otherwise, it confuses people.
Yeah, it has none. You're right about that. But all the things that are in these bioweapons are things that have never appeared before. It's criminal, and absolutely, and self-assembly is part of nanotechnology. That's why these things are possible. They can actually make something, put something in your body that can create its own assembly process, own prolification process.
It's insane. It's insane. Well, Dan, I have a hard stop at 12:45, so my apologies, but I want to thank you again for having me on the show. I'll come back another time when we have more time, but I hope it's been helpful. People can find me on my Telegram at t.me/drjaneruby, or you can write to me directly at drjaneruby@protonmail.com. So.
Dr. Jane, before you go, I'm Thumper, and I'm a co-producer on Dan's show here. I have a question for you, and hopefully you can maybe have an answer.
I have one minute.
Okay. The idea of parasites actually being a possible cause of cancers, and also the use of antiparasitics as a possible cancer treatment and or cure. One of the things that I'm familiar with, and I've used it on my animals who had a brain tumor, is fenbendazole, which is a antiparasitic, the same as ivermectin. Are you familiar?
What is your question? I have 30 seconds.
Are you familiar with that? And do you have any comment on it?
I cannot. Lots of times drugs have multiple mechanisms of action. Okay. Viagra was originally tested for high blood pressure, but then it was the erection, drug, right? So they can, and they can have mechanisms that are very disparate mechanisms of action for very disparate illnesses. And so what I would say is, hold off. We need proper trials. The fact that ivermectin has shown some anti-tumor activity is exciting to me, but I can't attribute it to the antiparasitic mechanism of action.
There is research out there on it, if you want to go look for it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well,
have a great day.
Thank you, Jane, and we will advertise your book. So A Sea of New Media. We've got that on my announcement, Thumper.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to LA,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and